The American Society of Clinical Oncology is releasing its annual report on progress against cancer. Joining us is Dr. Howard A. Burris III, the ASCO's past president. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
What are some of the key findings on the fight against cancer right now?
So each year, ASCO, the American Society of Clinical Oncology, which is the world's largest professional organization, more than 40,000 members representing those that are cancer caregivers, physicians, researchers, publishes this report. And this year we're highlighting advances and successes in gastrointestinal cancers, and in particular we're understanding the genetic basis of those cancers, the molecular profile of those cancers has made a difference in the treatment approach.
And you're talking about that as the advance of the year. What's new and special about it?
So GI cancers, gastrointestinal cancers, so esophagus, our swallowing tube, all the way down to the pancreas, colorectal cancer, almost a dozen different diseases. About a quarter of the world's cancer cases and about a third of the world's cancer deaths has lagged a bit behind in terms of where some of these advances have made an impact. So we have seen through understanding what's driving these cancers that utilizing immunotherapies in groups of colon cancer patients has improved outcomes, that utilizing new treatment approaches in liver cancer and then gastric cancer have had patients live longer and do better. Lynch syndrome, the most common familial hereditary type of colon cancer, just taking a baby aspirin a day reduced the occurrence of colon cancer by almost 50%. So the other end of the prevention screenings situation versus just treating the cancer.
Okay, let's talk a bit about, you know, something else that's come up in some of the research is disparities, that some people are not benefiting from all the advances in technology and treatments that have come in the last, say, 10 years or so. And what are some of the groups of folks that you're most concerned about right now?
Yes, that's an excellent topic. And unfortunately, the elderly, some of our patients that live in rural communities, some that are financially, socioeconomically disadvantaged are not benefiting. And then in particular, many people of color, particularly blacks, are not seeing the benefits of these advances in cancer treatment. So those are important issues in health equity, trying to make sure that we've got access for trials, access to research, access to care for those populations. Our current president, Dr. Lori Pierce from the University of Michigan, has a wonderful presidential theme this year, actually initiated before the pandemic and much of the strife in the country, that simply was every patient, everywhere, every day. And that's a great motto.
Mm-hmm. How is the COVID pandemic affecting the diagnosis and treatment of cancers?
So when the pandemic started, there were some pauses in clinical trials and cancer care, but that was short-lived. I mean, cancer care is certainly not elective. But on the other hand, cancer screening, so mammography, colonoscopies, other tests that can help us detect cancer earlier, and cancer detection early is the best way to have a great outcome. We saw those plummet to near zero. Now, while they're beginning to return to baseline, there's not an overshoot. So that means that one can assume most of these patients simply have delayed their tests for a year or more. And it'll take a while to see the impact of that. But we're already beginning to see patients coming into the clinic now with more advanced cancers that might have been picked up sooner if they'd had their screening tests.
So what's your advice to people who might be afraid of going to the doctor right now because there's a pandemic for their regular checkups?
It's a real issue. I would say that the hospitals and clinics that I've visited, and we hear this from my colleagues across the country, spacing appointments to help with social distancing, eliminating the waiting room phenomena, calling patients in from their cars or other avenues, all those are being done to be protective, the wearing of masks. And then fortunately, particularly starting now, virtually all of the healthcare workers have had the opportunity to get the vaccine. So I think those are impacts. And I would encourage patients not to wait the year. If you were due in July and you missed it, go in now. I mean, there's no reason to wait till your regularly scheduled yearly appointment. Don't get too far behind the curve.
What is your message about this World Cancer Day?
So World Cancer Day, February 4th, it occurs every year about this time. It's an international effort to increase awareness about cancer, education, treatment, research, participation. It really is a great call to thinking about cancer. That's one of the stories. I think education and awareness is so vital. Our cancer.net website, cancer.net, is a place that we have for patients and families and loved ones and the lay public to get information on more than 120 different cancers. And then our Cancer Advances Report is actually on our ASCO.org, ASCO.org website. Those are great tools as well. But really a place to stop and think about your health. Think about your weight. Think about exercising a little bit, doing things you can, getting to your screening appointments so that this all-too-common disease is, if it's going to be detected, gets detected at the earliest stages. And if you can take steps to prevent it, then all the better.
And we happen to be located in the Pacific Northwest, mostly Washington and Oregon is where our listeners are. Do you know if the ASCO has a presence here or is involved in any research in our area?
Yes, we do. We've actually got leadership that are coming from Washington State and Oregon, partnering with not just the universities there, but many of your community practice leaders are involved with ASCO. The American Society of Clinical Oncology's new chief medical officer, Dr. Grelo, comes from the Seattle Cancer Alliance. So a lot of great things are going on in the Pacific Northwest, and those have been cities that have been very involved and states that have been involved in a number of our initiatives. So a great part of the program.
Yeah, I don't know if you know that the Knight Cancer Institute is located here. So there's a lot of promise and hope there.
Yeah, the Knight Cancer Institute, Dr. Drucker, and colleagues from that particular university have been leaders on the research front as well as the advocacy front and really pushing for these research initiatives. So the Knight Cancer Institute is something that's known well to ASCO and the world, and you should be very proud of that resource.
Very cool. All right. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else I haven't asked you you'd like to add?
You know, just, again, continuing to push the education and awareness initiative, trying to get the federal government to realize how important it is to continue funding these initiatives, not just at those facilities, but researchers across the country and all of our states. And in the Pacific Northwest, Knight and Seattle Cancer Alliance and others get some federal funding to help research initiatives and to continue to get your screening and try to be healthy. Be up and aware about the possibility of cancer. And do what you can to help yourself.
Wonderful. Okay, well, I appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
All right. You too. Have a great day.
You too. And that was my conversation with Dr. Howard Burris III, ASCO's past president. That's the American Society of Clinical Oncology.